Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for being here and making the Pack-A-Day Podcast part of your daily routine. I am somewhat taking a risk here because I have to record this a little bit early. I've got an event going on Friday night. There's a little bit more buzz and smoke around a potential Jordan Love contract getting done before the end of the day, but I am unfortunately unable to record later. So I am recording the episode now. Hopefully you are living in a future where a Jordan Love contract is already done and he will be out at practice on Saturday morning. That would be amazing. So hopefully that's again the future you're living in. As of recording this right now, a Jordan Love contract is still not done and he was not at practice clearly on Friday. I don't really have anything else to say other than I'm hopeful that, again, even if you're listening to this and it's not done yet, that we are right there, that it's this close. It seems to be getting closer and closer, but clearly that is still one of the key talking points of this Packers training camp so far, and the offense has continued to massively struggle in his absence, so the sooner that he can get back, the better. As I'm recording this, the Tua Tagovailoa contract just got done. I'm not sure how much that helps the entire Love process. It is the same agency, so maybe the Tua getting done is sort of a precursor to the Love getting done. Who knows? I'm looking for anything at this point. Of course, we had a Jay Love contract get done earlier this week. That was Julian Love. We had a huge quarterback contract get done, but that was not Jordan Love. It was Tua Tagovailoa. So hopefully now we can get a huge quarterback Jay Love deal done, and Jordan Love can get his contract, his payday, and the Packers can move forward with him as QB1 at training camp where he belongs. All right, let's start with injury updates. Let's start with the players who were back. Corey Ballantyne, Donovan Jennings, and Caleb Jones all returned from injury, all only did individual drills. We'll see how quickly it takes them to ramp up and do team drills. Elgton Jenkins was also back. Remember, Wednesday was only a rest day, so that was expected, and he was back doing team drills as well. New players who were out, Robert Rochelle was out with a calf injury, and then Josh Myers was out with a personal issue. Matt LaFleur was asked about prior to practice if the injury that he suffered, or he went down hurt. We don't know if he actually had an injury or not, but if that had, you know, anything to do, or if he's going to miss practice because of that. He said he thought from an injury standpoint he was okay, but again, he was out for a personal issue. So that meant that the players that were not practicing on Friday were Jordan Love with a contract issue, Ketanji Adapo, non-football injury list with a toe injury, Marshawn Lloyd with the hip injury, Tucker Kraft still on PUP with the pec injury, Robert Rochelle with a calf injury, and then Josh Myers with the personal day. Let's get to the starters for the day. Your starters on offense, Sean Clifford still at quarterback, Josh Jacobs at running back, Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, and Romeo Doubs at wide receiver, Luke Musgrave at tight end, Rashid Walker at left tackle, Sean Ryan at left guard, Elgton Jenkins at center, Jordan Morgan at right guard, and Kadeem Telfert at right tackle. Defense was Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary as your defensive ends. Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt getting the start at defensive tackle. It was nickel, so that's probably why Wyatt was in there instead of Slayton, although Slayton has been in there in nickel as well. Quay Walker and Isaiah McDuffie at linebacker, Jair Alexander, Keyshawn Nixon, and Eric Stokes at corner, Xavier McKinney and Anthony Johnson Jr. at safety. Interesting notes here again, Wyatt at defensive tackle, not Slayton, not super surprising there. McDuffie with the nickel at linebacker, not Edrin Cooper. Those guys have been rotating back and forth a little bit at that spot. Anthony Johnson Jr. gets his opportunity at that starting safety job for the day. We have seen Javon Bullard and we've seen Evan Williams in camp so far. Anthony Johnson Jr. was the primary snap getter with the ones at that safety spot in OTAs and minicamp. Kadeem Telfert remained at right tackle despite I asked Matt LaFleur prior to practice, you know, what they saw to Telfert and, you know, how he got the nod at the one. And they said they were going to rotate that around. There was no rotation there, though. I think Dillard did get a couple reps with the ones, but for the most part, it was Telfert as the starter for another day. I think those were sort of the main takeaways. I know Peter Bukowski was asking about this a little bit and some other people on Twitter as well. Why Sean Ryan at left guard and Jordan Morgan at right guard? This is what they've been doing for the most part so far. When Elton's been at center, it's been Sean Ryan at left guard, Morgan at right guard. It feels like this is a situation where they're trying to get Jordan Morgan solidified more at one spot so he can maybe just pare things down a little bit and focus on one thing. It feels like right now, as I talked about the other day, Rashid Walker is going to be the left tackle. We'll see if that changes. But Elgton Jenkins is going to be left guard. Myers is going to be center. Zach Tom will be right tackle. And it feels like Morgan and Sean Ryan are going to be the ones that are really battling for that right guard position in that fifth and final starting spot. And I think that's why, you know, Sean Ryan's obviously played at right guard quite a bit. So when they need both of them at guard, they've stuck Jordan just at right guard for the time being, and they've actually switched Sean Ryan back to left guard. So I think that's the reason why, is those are, you know, two players who are rotating anyway. So keep the rookie at the spot and see if he can just develop in that one specific spot and let Sean Ryan do a little bit more bouncing back and forth. Let's talk about the play of the day, something I actually did not talk about on the Quick Hits episode. Play of the day, we are in red zone periods, and Sean Clifford is going to go with a long delayed play action. So they're doing a stretch play. I think it was a stretch play to the left. He fakes it and he stands there kind of for a while and really holds that play action fake. And then he turns around and Kingsley Enagbare is just waiting for him right in his lap. But that's not all. Sean Clifford gets the ball out anyway. Maybe it would have been a sack. Maybe he would have escaped and thrown it away. As he's doing so, Xavier McKinney jumps it. McKinney picks it off, houses it the other way for a pick six. So we'll get to this, but the only touchdown, in my opinion, in red zone was actually a defensive touchdown, not an offensive touchdown, with McKinney taking the house call the other way on a pick six. The reason this was a play of the day was twofold. One, not only was Enagbare in the right spot at the right time to get the sack, but then they continued the play anyway, and then McKinney houses it for a pick six. That's a pretty big play for the defense, no matter what way you slice it. But here's the other thing. I talked about yesterday where it feels like there are 13 defenders on the field at all times. This was the picture-perfect example of exactly that. They're faking a handoff one way. On that fake handoff, the defense does a phenomenal job of flowing to that side of the ball, and if it had been a run play, setting the edge and cutting that off. If it had been a run, the defense would have been there to stop it. It was not a run, though. They had the play action, and as I talked about yesterday and the day before that, if you are going to be a defense that is attacking and full steam ahead and get penetration and, you know, just make sure that we're going a million miles per hour, etc., that's great, but you want to make sure that you're not getting outflanked anywhere. And that can happen very easily on play actions, reverses, misdirection, etc. So they do a very long play action to get the defense to really bite that way and then pulls around the other way. And Enagbare easily could have been, I'm just making sure there's no Jordan Love news. There's updates coming through on my phone and just want to make sure I don't get anything. But they're doing the long play action. And they, you know, don't, Enagbare could have easily bit that way. He doesn't. He's waiting for Sean Clifford and for what would have likely been a would-be sack. So now you add a layer on top of that. So the run play would have been stopped. The play action, you've got a defender waiting there. But let's say the play continues anyway. We're not going to blow it dead. There's no live tackling. So maybe Enagbare doesn't quite get there. Maybe Sean Clifford escapes. So Clifford rolls out and clearly they can't have the run covered, the QB covered, and the defensive backfield covered as well, right? Wrong. Throws it, and then you get McKinney jumping it, picking it off, and then taking it to the house the other way. When I say it feels like there are 14, 13 defenders out there, it feels that way. Because three checkpoints here, right? Can you stop the run? Can you stop the quarterback? And can you stop the receivers in the defensive backfield all at the same time, all simultaneously? It's not necessarily an easy thing to do. Heck, I think Packers fans last year would have taken one of any of those things. Can you stop the quarterback or the running game or the passing game? Can you stop one of them, please? They had all three covered on the same play. And again, not only end up with what probably would have been a sack, but continue the play on and end up with a pick six as well. I mean, just a massive play for the defense. And remember, this is red zone drills for the offense. The offense is in plus territory and they can do nothing with it. And in fact, it's the defense that scores on the play. So I know a couple of you were asking about Xavier McKinney and playmaking. We've seen some interceptions from a variety of players. Where's McKinney been? You kind of had this feeling that it was coming. He's been in the right place at the right time. He's been doing everything he's supposed to. Now he had the opportunity to go make a play. He made it and took that pick six the other way. I talked about this one in the quick hits. Rashawn Gary, the other key player and you know, sort of key takeaway from this one. just a man possessed the way that he's playing right now. And yes, Kadeem Telford, Andre Dillard, we're not talking about Hall of Fame caliber players here. These are backup caliber players, but it's imperative that when you get those mismatches, you own them, you take advantage of them, and you make them pay for it. And that's what Rashawn Gary's been doing. If you have somebody on you that shouldn't be able to block you, make it so that they can't block you. And Rashawn Gary, first two plays of red zone drills, first two plays, Rashawn Gary sack, Rashawn Gary sack, back to back, went right through Kadeem Telford like he wasn't even there. And then later on, another play that ended up being like a little screen pass to Josh Jacobs would have been a potential another sack for Rashawn Gary, except Clifford just got it done, you know, out in like a minuscule amount of time. Otherwise, it would have been the third sack for Rashawn Gary. He has been nothing short of phenomenal so far. We'll see what that looks like when Zach Tom comes back. We'll see what that looks like against the Eagles offensive line in week one. I mean, we know Rashawn's good, right? We know he's very, very good. We saw him hit a little bit of a wall at the end of last season. I still believe that's from coming back off the torn ACL and having to do so much rehab work in the offseason. He looks fresh. He looks energized. He is attacking everything. He's as advertised. And I'll just, you know, add one more thing that I said in the quick hits version. There are players that I have gone to practice and just wanted to watch those players. I've talked about in the past with Devontae Adams, with Aaron Rodgers, with David Bakhtiari, with Jaire Alexander at times. You know, there are players that you just want to go and watch them master their craft. They are just that freaking good that if you do nothing else, like you almost just want to spend a day watching them in their prime do their thing. And right now, Rashawn Gary is entering that territory of, I want to go to practice right now, and I just want to watch Rashawn work because it is a joy to watch him work. It is a joy to watch him play. It is a joy to watch him continuing to master his craft. And he has been, like I said, nothing short of absolutely phenomenal so far. And he has been super, super important to what this defense has been doing. Sorry, like I said, one more time, just checking my phone, make sure no more news is coming in on any of the quarterback stuff. So sorry for the eye contact there for those that are watching on the YouTube video. But Rashawn Gary, absolute stud, end of story. All right, kicking competitions up next. We had James Turner on Wednesday do his second round. Remember, he went, 4 for 6 on the day. And he is now 8 for 12 in training camp so far. He did not kick on Friday. Remember, this is just going back to Wednesday. He had his opportunity. He's 8 for 12 in training camp so far. So today on Friday, as I'm recording this, it was Greg Joseph and Anders Carlson who had their opportunities. Each of them got 6 kicks. The kicks were from 40, 44, 49, 45, 47, and 50 yards respectively. Greg Joseph goes 6 for 6 on the day. He had been 5 of 6 in camp so far, so he is now 11 of 12 in training camp. Anders Carlson went 5 for 6 on the day, hit the 40, the 44, the 49, the 45, and the 47, and missed from 50. He is now also 11 of 12. He made his first 11. It was the 12th one from 50 yards out. He hit the left upright. Wind had just picked up right before that kick took place and was going in that direction where he hit the upright. So not sure if it played a factor or not. As I talked about, he has been kicking the ball much, much better. He looks confident. He looks relaxed on the ball. Doesn't look like he's rushing anything. The sound on the ball, like it sounds good when he's hitting it. It sounds clean. And up until the one that hit the upright, right down the middle, right down the middle, right down the middle, et cetera, et cetera. He was just crushing them right down the middle of the goalposts. And like I said, I had the unfortunate one from 50 that swung left a little bit, hit the post. Could have hit the post and went in. Unfortunately, just a tad left, hit the post and bounced out. Such is life sometimes. Would have been fun to talk about Anders going 12 for 12. But the big thing is you can see the confidence. And like I said, you know, usually Anders gets up there and it's like, buckle up. You don't know what the heck you're going to get. And right now it feels like when he's kicking, I feel like it's going in when I'm watching it. That's how good it's looked. The long snapping's been a bit of an issue still. In the punting long snapping, Daniel Whalen did not punt on the day. They did the jugs machine, but he was catching them. There were multiple that were above like Whalen's head that he had to go up and get. And some of the kicks were a little bit high too, where Whalen had to get them down in time. So the long snapping could still use some work. Remember, Matt Orzech's still the only one on the roster. They released Peter Bowden earlier in the week and have not replaced him to have any competition at long snapper for Orzech at this time. So just to recap, Joseph is now 11 of 12. Anders Carlson's now 11 of 12. And James Turner is 8 for 12. But Anders Carlson looking very, very good. Tyler Davis Matt LaFleur talked about him pre-practice, about how he is basically, I'm paraphrasing here, and he didn't use these words, but I'm putting words in his mouth anyway, like the consummate professional, doing all the things that he's supposed to, controlling his controllables. The talk of Tyler Davis is just constantly positive. You know, top special teams guy, does everything pretty well. And then that's kind of what you would say about him. But he had a really nice block in practice that sprung a big run to the right side. And then he had a really nice play and a play action, got open in the flat, caught the ball, accelerated upfield for what would have been a big gain as well. We're seeing Tyler Davis used a little bit more, I think in large part probably due to Tucker Kraft being out right now, but they've thrown him right back in the fray. And if you think that he's not going to be involved in that number three tight end or in that 53-man roster conversation, I would readjust your perception of him right now. He's going to be a part of that conversation. I'm not saying he's going to make it. I think if I were betting today, if he makes it or not, I think I would say yes, but he is absolutely going to be a part of that conversation one way or the other. Hey, everybody. For those that have been listening to the podcast for some time now, you know how invested I am in the world of Prize Picks and how much more enjoyable it's made the entire daily fantasy experience for me. And it's not hard to understand why it's America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. If you've maybe been on the fence about getting in on the fun, there's never been a better time than right now to sign up. It's officially Team USA season, and you, yes you, could turn $10 into $1,000 while watching Team USA rack up the gold medals this summer. You can make a Prize Picks lineup of players across basketball, soccer, tennis, golf, and more in as little as 60 seconds. Just pick more or pick less on player stat projections, and you're locked in. And if you're looking for promotions, Prize Picks has you covered every week. Make sure to check out Tuesday promotions as they lower select player stat projections to help your lineup hit. This week, I'm going with Team USA Basketball. Two big stars, Anthony Edwards and Aja Wilson, as I'm absolutely stoked for the return of international basketball. And the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. As many of you know, a few years back, the Milwaukee Bucks were in the NBA Finals, and I desperately wanted to go to Game 6 in Milwaukee to see them win the championship. As you can imagine, prices were insane, and I kept going back and forth with different apps to try and find the cheapest tickets possible. I finally found them, clicked purchase, and of course they were gone. Goodbye Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Now, thankfully, the day of the game I was able to find a ticket, but the entire thing was so expensive and way too stressful. I really wish I could have simply used Game Time to alleviate all of the stress and all of the hassle. I've started using Game Time app for purchasing all of my tickets, and I wish I would have done so sooner. From low prices to easy to find tickets to last minute ticket deals, the Game Time app is perfect for all of my ticket needs. Game Time is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You can get images of your seat before you buy, you can buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two clicks only in fact, and tickets are sent directly to your phone so you never need to dig through your email. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. That's code PACKADAY. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Let's talk about the offense's continued struggles. I know not exactly what anyone wants to talk about, but this offense has been bad. It's been really, really, really bad. The red zone drills, which they had, I didn't count the opportunities. They had multiple opportunities in the red zone to convert a touchdown. I do not believe they scored a touchdown. There was a completion to Musgrave at the goal line. I believe they held them just short, like down at like the 1-inch yard line. It would have been fourth and goal from the 1-inch based on the down and distance they were practicing from. But I still think they held them out and they didn't run that play. They were just doing off their card of everything that they wanted to get to. And then there was a play later where they threw left to Christian Watson, completed it. Carrington Valentine did an unbelievable job of getting through all the massive humanity to get to Christian Watson and stopping him short of the goal line. And then we talked about the pick six. There were multiple sacks. We talked about the two sacks from Rashawn Gary that resulted in losses on the play. And then you had the very final play of red zone They did a run. I can't remember if it was a toss or a handoff to Josh Jacobs, but they did a run to Josh Jacobs. They called it a touchdown. I think it was a read option. It was a read option to Josh Jacobs. They called it a touchdown. I am 99% sure that Carl Brooks and LVN would have had him for a loss on the play and that he would have gotten nowhere near at the end zone. But the offense, I think, maybe needed something. They gave him the touchdown and that was that. But the in my opinion, not only did the defense not allow a touchdown, they scored one of their own on the Xavier McKinney pick six, I guess, pending if you would have counted the Enagbare sack first, where maybe that play wouldn't have even got off. But they did let it go off and he housed it for a pick six. So if you've got, I don't know, my guess is probably like 12 shots, maybe 10 to 12 shots in red zone, and the defense scores more than the offense, that's not a great day for the offense. And those were the primary team drills that they did. They did some, you know, scripted periods and things like that, but, or maybe it was unscripted, I guess, I don't know for sure. But it was mostly red zone, and yeah, the offense has just gotten nothing going. And the other periods, offense couldn't get anything going downfield. The big play, you had two sort of big plays, a really nice Emmanuel Wilson run to the outside. That was the one that Tyler Davis blocked up really, really well. Wilson's had a really nice start to camp. He looks fresh. His legs look, you know, fresh, I guess. And then he just looks very active and quick right now. Good patience on the run, good vision, and took it to the outside, ran hard. And like it probably would have been 30, 40 yard run on the play. And then the other one was probably like a 15-yard completion, maybe, that Michael Pratt had to Luke Musgrave over the middle of the field. It was a little bit high for Musgrave, but thankfully Musgrave's a super tall dude with a large catch radius, and he went up and got it and was able to get a nice completion up the seam. That's been about it. And there was really nothing else for the offense to write home about. So red zone offense, completely brutal. Defense won that handily. Some other miscellaneous news and notes. Keyshawn Nixon was your primary kick returner. Josh Jacobs, Jaden Reed, Samore Toure, Dimitri Stanley, Emmanuel Wilson, and Jarvion Howard also got reps at kick returner. I believe Bo Melton was in that group, but then he got taken out to go do some of the special team stuff, so he might be in consideration there as well. But players who actually got reps at kick returner, again, Nixon, Jacobs, Reed, Toure, Dimitri Stanley, Emmanuel Wilson, and Jarvion Howard. Players who got reps at punt returner, Keyshawn Nixon, Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, and Dimitri Stanley. So those were your returners. Going back to kick return for just a moment, how they've been doing it so far, one player all the way back, and then one player about 10 yards in front of them, and then everyone else up at the, I guess we'll call it like the kicking line of scrimmage or whatever, or the receiving line of scrimmage. And the one player that's the up back, like I said, 10 yards in front, it was AJ Dillon primarily. And then Grant Dubose got a look there as well. So if they were to kick it short, I think that player probably has some leeway to maybe go get that. If it, you know, goes a little bit longer, then it's going to be that primary kick returner. I think assuming, Dillon makes a team, which right now it certainly seems like he's going to. My guess is Nixon's the primary returner and AJ Dillon probably that up back just a little bit ahead of him. Slot cornerbacks. I talked yesterday or Wednesday, I should say, about how the slot corner group is now in their own little individual group. So you've got the outside corners and the slot corners. The other day it was Keyshawn Nixon and Kalen King with Corey Ballantyne being back at practice. He was in that group as well. But above and beyond that, it was Jeff Hafley. Remember Jeff Hafley, former defensive backs coach who was working hand in hand with that group on Friday. I think it was just a stop by and to kind of give them some tips and advice. I don't think that's going to be something where Hafley just coaches that group in those individual drills. It looked like towards the end of it, he was going to go and see another potential group, but still interesting that, you know, he definitely had some hands on with that slot corner group. And again, he has all that great defensive backs background. So I can only imagine that that's going to help that group out as well. We mentioned Kadeem Telfort. Matt LaFleur mentioned pre-practice that there would be a rotation at that right tackle spot with Zach Tom not practicing in team. However, it was primarily and predominantly Kadeem Telfort with, I think, Dillard maybe getting a couple snaps at that right tackle spot. An interesting lineup note with the twos, Keyshawn Nixon got some time as an outside corner with the twos with Kalen King in the slot. Now, this is very clearly just cross training. You never know who's going to be needed. And if Keyshawn Nixon can play some on the outside as well, that's only an added bonus. So he got some reps as a outside corner with the second team, and that allowed Kalen King to get those snaps in the slot. Colby Wooden and Brenton Cox had a really nice play where they combined for a tackle for loss in the run game. Preston Smith had both a sack and another pressure on the day. He continues to have a very nice camp. We talked about the really nice run that Emmanuel Wilson had. And then Tyron Hopper had his daily tackle for a loss as well. This one probably was right at the line of scrimmage, but literally every single freaking day, he finds a way to come up with a tackle for a loss or at the line of scrimmage. He's been impressive. He still is not involved in the conversation in 4-3 or nickel with any of the number ones, but he's been making plays almost every single day with the twos, and I've been impressed with him so far. So hopefully that continues for Tyron Hopper. All right, that was it. It was just over an hour and a half practice. Nobody had to do push-ups. Mostly nondescript, mostly no crazy main takeaways, but I think all the things we talked about today were at least noteworthy to some extent. It's going to do it for me. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Rataka, Caleb Cookster, SoCal Pack, and Dan Gesford. I'll see you guys tomorrow, hopefully talking about not only practice, but a Jordan Love contract. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.